Welcome to Vegas Golden Podcast, Episode 2. I'm Case Kiefer, joined, as always, by Justin Emerson. Kind of a weird time to be doing this because the Golden Knights are off for 8 days. The All-Star break followed by the winter break. So it's going to be a good break for everyone in the NHL. Justin, what exotic locale are you headed out to for this break?
Where am I going on break? I am the office. Just because they're off doesn't mean I... Maybe should I talk to somebody about that? Do I have 8 days
that's
off?
That's pretty exotic. The office can be exotic.
You get a view of palm trees, I guess.
Maybe a little sand pit at your desk. I just remember last year we got the infamous... I don't know if it's really infamous because it didn't end
it's
up
fantastic.
Doing anything.
It's fantastic.
Last year we got the Cabo photo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Several of the Knights lounging on a boat.
I was just looking at that. All of them are still there other than Brandon Leipzig. Or I guess James Neal was there too. But, I mean, I'm hoping we get something similar. They did say, Braden McNabb said that a couple of the guys are going somewhere is all they would say. We asked Shea Theodore where he was going and he's like, yeah, we're going somewhere. So, We might be seeing something like that.
So there will be a group outing. Because I haven't been around for a lot of those. I didn't know if that was just like a first-year Golden Misfits thing. If they all got together and traveled.
Yeah,
you're thinking some of them will be together.
That's what it sounds like. I asked McNabb what his plans were, and he just said, yeah, some of us are going somewhere. So super specific if you guys want to go find them.
Well, I know there was some talk last year when this photo came out, and I jokingly said it was going to be like the infamous Giants boat photo, and it was going to ruin the season. Did not turn out to be the case.
It worked out all right for them.
They were solid in the second half, went to the Stanley Cup. So I would think if I was setting the odds, there's got to be a pretty good, you know, minus 150 on the yes that we're going to see some kind of vacation photo.
you're saying it's the betting favorite?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't come back to haunt them last year. Who do you think who's the most likely to be together? I mean, you said Theodore. Some of us are going somewhere. I know Theodore's tight with Tuck.
I'm looking right at last year's photo, and I just forgot how wonderful this is. From everything from James Neal's hat to Nate Schmidt's pink shorts. But let's see, we've got Theodore, Miller, Schmidt, Halla, Tuck, and Smith are all still there, and then Neal and Leipzig are the other two. So, we could see it, I guess. We'll see.
who's most likely to be in it other than Theodore and Tuck this year?
Oh,
I feel like those two go together.
Yeah, and you got to think that Nate Schmidt's going to do something, right?
That makes sense. I'm kind of surprised Eakin isn't in this photo. At least, or maybe I shouldn't say I'm surprised he's not in this photo. I think if I'm making the bet of Theodore and Tuck being in this year's, I know early in the year they were on a big dinner rotation with Cody Eakin. I feel like he's going
to
be on the vacation.
So if you were to set the odds at one player that wasn't in last year's photo that would be in this year's photo, you're taking Cody Eakin?
I think he's up there.
I mean, if something like this is going to happen, I'll take McNabb just because he said that they were going to do something.
Oh, you got that from McNabb. I was hearing Theodore.
Yeah. Said, no, okay. That was...
All right, yeah, McNabb's a good one, too. I don't know McNabb.
And they might not even be doing this. We're just running wildly here. They might just be, a quiet night of milk and cookies with the boys.
I mean, McNabb does seem a little less outgoing than some of these guys, a little quieter, more reserved. So I don't know.
We'll see.
These are the types of things you talk about on the All-Star break, though.
Yeah, we don't have a whole lot of hockey next week to talk about. We do have last week to talk about. You coming really close to nailing the prediction for the last week on the pod. You said that they'd go 1-1-1, and I mean they went 1-2-0, so it was pretty close.
Yeah, I'm glad we got something right because it wasn't our best prediction start to the Vegas Golden Podcast in our first episode last week. But yeah, I did nail those. The Golden Knights go into the break with two straight losses at home to the Wild on Monday afternoon, then lose to the Predators last night, 2-1. Two games they didn't necessarily play terrible, but still a little disappointing to only get 2 points out of those last three home games. And for this week's big topic, I think it's pretty obvious just to kind of take a step back and look at where they are after the unofficial first half, really more than a half, but we'll always let the All-Star break denote the half.
We did the same thing in baseball. It's never half of the season.
Yeah.
It's like half plus like 3 weeks of the season, but we call it the half.
So it always just kind of bothers me, I'm playing into it. So they're in a pretty good position, still third in the Pacific. I think that could be seen as a little bit disappointing considering when they went on the run of 7 straight wins, I think they were like 3 points from the top. Now they are 9 points behind the Flames, 3 points behind the Sharks, 29-19-4. very broad, but for this week's big topic, just where do you assess where the team is at the All-Star break?
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised at all to see them in a Pacific Division playoff spot. I think we knew coming into the year that the Pacific was going to be weak. And you look at those three teams who are all legitimately good, not to take away from them, but the next team after that is Vancouver at 52 points. So Vegas, you know, 10 points clear of a playoff spot right now. I think you're happy with that, but not necessarily content. You know, Calgary's, you know, starting to work. You know, Vegas is 1 point closer to Calgary than they are clear of Vancouver right now. So I'm not sure how realistic winning the Pacific could be this year. I mean, they could always go on a run, but, you know, it looks like they're pretty locked into that 2-3 game with San Jose, and it's just going to be jostling for who gets home ice in that first round playoff series.
Yeah, what a run by Calgary. Because like I said, it seemed like the Golden Knights were closing in on them. And then next time you look, the Golden Knights, the Flames, excuse me, have reeled off eight wins in their last 10.
Yeah, they just haven't stopped. They even got one of those losses was in overtime. So they've gotten, in their last 10 games, they've gotten 17 points. It's hard to hard to keep pace when teams are doing that.
Yeah, and I know we raved about their offense last week, and still that's been the key here for a while. I mean, no one was even within striking range of the Lightning overall in the NHL, but now the Flames only 5 points behind them at the break, and certainly looking like the favorites to have home ice throughout the playoffs.
Yeah, at least through the Western Conference. They're 7 points, 6 points ahead of San Jose, 7 points clear of Winnipeg and Nashville right now. A couple games in hand on Winnipeg. But it looks like through those first two rounds, I mean, Calgary wins if they were to win the Pacific, barring a first round upset, they'll have home ice at least through the first two rounds. So, and that's big. That's a fun arena up there. They do their Sea of Red up there for the playoffs. We'll see how it goes. Calgary is going to be a tough out once it comes to April, May, June.
Right. So the Golden Knights, of course, still have 2 games left with the Flames, 2 games left. With the Sharks as well, actually halfway done with both those season series, but those will be some big games to watch over the second half of the year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, those are going to be the games. I mean, we talk about, I mean, I know I just said that Calgary is in a great position to win the Pacific, but, you know, Golden Knights win both of those games in regulation and they, you know, take 4 points right there. And, you know, it could happen. There's a lot of hockey left to go to the cliches earlier in this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, all that being said, I think we should talk a little more in depth about the last two games. The Predators, especially on Wednesday, I mean, it was hyped as a pretty big game, and for good reason. These are two of the best teams in the Western Conference, nationally televised game. I think this was a shot for the Golden Knights to kind of impose their will and go into the All-Star break on a high note. They do lose 2-1, as we mentioned earlier, but I mean, didn't seem like the guys were too down. It seemed like they were ready for a break and they're going to come back focused. Does this loss hurt them at all? What were your takeaways from last night?
No, I don't think so. I mean, over the course of 82 games, you're going to play some really good games and lose, and you're going to play some really bad games and win. And I think last night was just kind of a that's hockey type of game. I mean, they fired 48 shots at the Predators. They controlled everything. They held Nashville to 2 shots in the third period when Nashville had a 1-goal lead. So it happens. The Golden Knights were the better team last night. They ran into a super hot goalie, Juuse Saros, who is, you said in your column, I like that, a fledgling villain for the Golden Knights, just the way that he's dominated Vegas in 3 outings against them. So, I mean, they ran into a hot goalie. I don't think you can draw too many conclusions from a game, especially because they had been playing really well.
I was shocked. Maybe it's just because obviously I watch more Golden Knights than anyone else, but I've always really liked Saros. I mean, the last 2 years I've really liked Saros. I'm like, man, this guy is going to be in Nashville for a long time. I think he's been great. Then I look at his stats and they really didn't blow me away like they do anyone else. So I think it might be just one of those cases where he's just, you know, held over on the Golden Knights in these 3 games. Certainly still, you know, a big time long-term prospect. I think he has a bright future, but you know, his stats have been kind of middling for the year. Unless he's played the Golden Knights, he's just stopped everything in sight.
I mean you say that, his stats are really similar to Marc-Andre Fleury's. I mean, Fleury's sitting at a 249 goals against, 911 save percentage. Juuse Saros 258 goals against, 914 save percentage. So a couple more goals allowed, a couple more saves, but You know, he's a good player, obviously. He's, you know, 23 years old, so he's got plenty of time to build into that, and he's backing up Pecorino right now, who's 36. So Nashville's in a great space to have, you know, a borderline Hall of Fame goalie and Pecorino just to be succeeded by a guy like Saros. I mean, Nashville's going to be a good team for a long time, and, you know, somebody's going to have to get through him to win the West. A Vegas-Nashville playoff series would be a lot of fun, especially because those are probably, I don't know, the two most fun cities in the NHL. Real party on and off the ice. But, yeah, absolutely. Saros was fantastic last night. He made 47 saves. Golden Knights just had no answer after those first few minutes.
You would know better than me. I was kind of away from hockey for a few years. Always paid a little bit of attention. But one thing you said really took me aback. Is Pecorino really borderline Hall of Famer?
I'd have to look at that.
Okay. I would think no, but
probably not. I may have been exaggerating a little bit, but I mean, he's a Vezina candidate year in and year out. So
has won one.
Yeah,
last year even.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe not borderline Hall of Fame, but an excellent goalie for a long time that Nashville's set up really well.
No Marc-Andre Fleury. In my book, I think Marc-Andre Fleury's a Hall of Famer, and stay tuned for that. Maybe some more talk on that down the line.
Vague tease.
We're working on a
piece, so I guess we'll see.
Well, that talk about the Predators goalie situation of all the avenues we could go toward, from the Golden Knights vacation, to the Predators goalies, but. That takes us to zoning out a little bit with our segment every week. We like to call Escaping the Fortress, where we take on one of the bigger storylines or something going on in the NHL. And you had a great suggestion for today, which I think has shocked everyone. Certainly me. You look at the standings, and I think what stands out the most, the New York Islanders on top of the Metropolitan Division. They're 29-15-5 at the break, 63 points. This was a team that came into the season 50-1 to win the Metropolitan. They're down to 3-1 now. They're still behind three teams in the odds-wise, Washington, Columbus, and Pittsburgh.
Hold on, 50-1 to win the Metro? Not even
at the beginning of the year.
Not even win the Cup?
50-1 to win the Metro. To win the Cup, I bet they are 200. I'll look that up while you're talking about them.
50-1 to win the division, and they're on top of it. Wow.
Barry Trotz working his magic. Won the Stanley Cup, of course, last year with the Capitals. Takes the somewhat strange move to the Islanders. I mean, he got a great contract, but I still know some people were kind of confused by that. And so far, he has done great things, despite, you know, being a young team without a superstar. John Tavares left. You know, what can you say about the Islanders?
I have no idea. I mean, they're legitimately terrific this year. And like you said, they're a team without a superstar. Matthew Barzal, you know, their best player, 49 games, 45 points. But even then, they don't have a guy on their team with 20 goals. They do have 9 guys with at least 10 goals. So, I mean, they're spreading it out. They have a plus 25 goal differential this year. They are 3 points clear of Washington for second in the Metro with a game in hand even. Like, this is legitimately good. And I think one thing that I think we can relate it to Vegas a little bit is kind of that Golden Misfits attitude that Vegas brought in. It was kind of the nobody wanted us. We were the expansion castoffs. We were these guys. Well, the Islanders, though it's not an expansion, were kind of left out to dry. John Tavares left for Toronto, and then everybody was, you know, writing these guys off. Like, okay, they don't have a chance without their best player. And Matthew Barzal, Anders Lee, Josh Bailey, like, these guys have stepped up. And what we have here is, you know, a really good hockey team. Robin Leonard, right now at the halfway point of the season, or however we want to call it, the All-Star break, leads the NHL 2.02 goals against, as well as a 931 save percentage. That both leads the league. So, surprise, potentially Vezina candidate, Robin Leonard. Maybe he doesn't have the body of work that some of the other goalies do, but this team's terrific, and it surprised me, because as somebody who doesn't, like you said, follow a whole lot of, you know, Islanders hockey, to wake up a couple of days ago and see that the Islanders were on top of the league, on top of the division, it's impressive. It definitely is.
Right. So to get back to update our earlier talking point, coming into the year, the day before the season, the Senators were 500-1 to win the Stanley Cup. The Red Wings were 200-1. Then there were four teams, it looks like, at 100-1. The Islanders were one of those. So at the very bottom of the betting board, along with the Canucks, the Canadians, who've also been better than expected, and the Coyotes. And, you know, I still don't think I would feel I guess you can't argue with the value of having them 100-1 to win the Stanley Cup. I still do not feel like this is going to last forever. I think they've put themselves in good positions. They're probably going to make the playoffs, but I'm still a little skeptical. I mean, a lot can happen in hockey. They're leading the league in PDO at 102.6. You certainly think that's going to regress a little bit. But that being said, I like the comparison with the Golden Knights last year, because this was kind of what I was saying about the Golden Knights last year, to the dismay of many people around here, just that, you know, they're very good, clearly, but they've had some things go their way. It's probably not going to last forever. And the Golden Knights made it last pretty long. So, I mean, there's no telling when these things will crash or how they will last. I think that they're definitely kind of the spiritual companion of last year's Golden Knights. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, right now, I love doing this because it's ridiculous and things change all the time. But if the playoffs were to start today, they would have a first round matchup with Boston. They would have home ice there. And then if they were to get through there, they'd play the winner of the Washington-Columbus series, also having home ice. So, you know, Islanders, they're in good shape. I think the from one Golden Misfits here in Vegas to a Long Island Misfits over in, I mean, they don't even have a home arena that they play every game at. They split between the Coliseum in Nassau as well as Barclays Center in Brooklyn. So, yeah, this is there's your Misfits for the year. There's your cast-offs and a team that the Vegas came out of nowhere to win the division last year. So, I guess we're seeing that now with the Islanders.
I totally forgot about that. I think they added extra games at the Coliseum again this year, right? Because there was so much uproar when they were playing at Barclays.
They don't even have a home arena.
Interesting. So to cap this off, we'll be in the fictional Vegas Golden Podcast Sportsbook. I'm going to read you the top, kind of the four contenders in the Metropolitan right now. You can get the Capitals at 11-4, the Penguins at 9-5, the Blue Jackets at 7-2. Or the Islanders at 3-1. You have to make a wager with me. Which one of those four are you taking? Who's going to win the Metropolitan?
Capitals. And I think
Capitals at 11-4.
Oh yeah, they've lost 7 in a row. They're 0-5-2, I believe, in their last 7, and they are only 3 points out. I think they'll get it together. They'll go on a run. Pittsburgh, I like next. They're only 1 point out of a playoffs. They're in a wild card spot right now, but they're only 1 point out. But I like Washington. They're the defending cup champs, brought back most of that same team. If I were to have to pick one, I would say at the end of the year, Washington's on top of the Metro. But like you said, I do think the Islanders have done enough and are playing well enough to that they'll make the playoffs this year.
All right. Pittsburgh 9-5, so plus 180, just no value there. I can see where you're going with the Capitals. Plus 275. I'm gonna have to start keeping track of all these assorted bets and predictions we make on the podcast. Not something I did for number one, but I think if I had to make a bet,
I'm gonna write it down right now.
If I had to make a bet, I think I would take the Blue Jackets at plus 350. Talent wise, I think they're right there. I guess the concern is a little bit dysfunctional. I know there's been problems with Bob Borowski, who supposedly wants out of there, but I think if they can keep it together, I think at plus 350. That would be my bet. Not necessarily, I think if I had to pick one team, it might not be them, but plus 350 looks pretty juicy. They're bigger than any of those other three teams. I think they have just as good of a chance. So we're on different sides of that one.
Yeah.
Always good to be on different sides.
Yeah, it wouldn't be wouldn't make for entertaining radio or podcasting if we were if we agreed on everything.
All right, so we'll try to keep a board or something. We've got two whiteboards in here, too, that we could add to keep track of all these assorted predictions we make. But for now, let's get to a section where we typically make predictions. Not going to be able to this week. It is the week ahead, where we look at who the Golden Knights are going to be taking on, what they have on tap, and it's a whole lot of nothing for the next week. Of course, as we said, it's the break. Headed to the All-Star game, only one Golden Knight headed there, Marc-Andre Fleury. We talked about maybe some of the directions they'll be heading, who will be going there, but, how important is this for the Golden Knights and, anything to add about this break they're about to go on?
I just think that the break is so important. You know, talking to the players, they talk about the mental grind of hockey. Like, you hear it a lot in baseball, the fact that you have to play every day and, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. But you look at hockey, they might not be playing games every day, but they skate almost they skate every day. And, you know, on game days, it's a morning skate, and then you're going to the arena. It is a long, long season. You're playing, last year, the Golden Knights played September to June when you factor in preseason and then the Stanley Cup final run. So they had July, August off. Like, it's a long season. And to have 8 days off, to be able to, you know, go take a picture on a boat in Cabo, or to take your family to Hawaii, or to do all these kinds of things that they can do, is really important to be able to just get away from hockey for a little bit. You know, Gerard Gallant said that he's going to go. Gerard Gallant said he's going to go to just go back home to Canada and spend some time with his grandkids. And to be able to do that and to be able to come back refreshed, refocused for the last 30-some-odd games of the year, I think, you know, it can't be overstated just how important that is.
I suspect Gerard Gallant was already on his way to Canada for his grandkids last night, because
he didn't
appear
do the
post game.
No, yeah, that which had to be it.
Which they they did note us of. The only other time I can remember him not doing it, it was something with his grandkids. His grandkids were there, and he was in a hurry to get to them. So I wouldn't even be surprised if he had that Bill Foley private jet last night or something, was flying into wherever they're based out of Canada.
Yeah, we did get told before the game he wasn't going to do post game, so it had nothing to do with the result of the game. But I think getting out to Prince Edward Island was might have been on his mind.
Yeah, I think you touched on something I think is very important and often glossed over, is the fact that, you know, this rest means even more to the Golden Knights, considering how deep they played into last year. You know, a lot of people, I think, still have an old school mentality and kind of scoff at putting those extra miles on your legs and the effect that can have. But all the sports science data we have, everything says it makes it so much harder that next year when you only have a short amount of time off. So I think, you know, the Golden Knights, if you were ranking teams on fatigue, I think they're going to be higher than most teams just based on what they did last year. Of course, the vast majority of their roster back. So I think this is really big for them. To be able to get some rest.
And you look at how they started the season. They were a little slow, and, you know, they will never make any excuses, because that's just not what professional athletes do. But you look at it, they didn't have that long of an off season. Nate Schmidt was suspended. Shea Theodore was holding out for a contract. It was just like a whole lot of weird things that at the beginning of the year, just they weren't gelling, just for whatever reason, it wasn't working. I think it was a combination of a lot of different things. And then, you know, you hit November and December and you start playing better hockey. Everything was working better for him. So, yeah, and I think, the short offseason just makes even more impressive what the Penguins were able to do and win two Stanley Cups in a row to play deep into June, 2 years in a row. It's impressive. It's hard to do, and that's why it is so hard to repeat and so hard to get back to the Stanley Cup final after making it.
Yeah, and you saw, the Penguins, I think it had been, I think that was the first time in the salary cap era that a team had gone back-to-back. It just shows you how difficult it had been many years since then. I think since the 90s, the Red Wings did it once. You mentioned talking to a lot of the players and the importance of this break and how fast they are to get out there. The one player that will not, or at least have a delay in starting his break, is Marc-Andre Fleury. And I found it very interesting last night. I don't even think he meant to say it, but when he was asked if he was kind of looking forward to the All-Star game, it's no secret that a lot of players aren't really, huge fans aren't loving getting up there. But his first reaction was something like, well, I'm looking forward to after the All-Star break when I get to rest. And then he quickly corrects himself, oh, no, I'll have fun in San Jose. But I thought that was pretty telling, not just the political answer. He might have just gone with this split reaction. But Marc-Andre Fleury will be in San Jose on Saturday, earlier than that, too. But that's when the All-Star festivities will be taking place. Anything to watch from the Golden Knights goalie?
I'm hoping he brings the gold pads. He wore them. He had them in practice on for the morning skate on Wednesday, and then ended up not wearing them for the game. But especially, I was just talking with some of the writers and how fun it would be to see, especially with the jerseys this year, how there's no color. It's all black and white and grayscale and everything. Just to see the black and white and everything, and then just see Fleury's gold pads would be fantastic.
Yeah, I thought we were going to get them last night. I saw your tweets and stuff.
Well, UC Saros has a pair of yellow pads, too. So we could have gotten yellow pads versus gold pads, which would have been either great or terrible, depending on how you look at it. But
He did say, Fleury said he was saving them for big games when he first busted them out early in the season. This felt like it would have fit last game before the All-Star break. Another Western Conference contender. Didn't happen. How many times has he actually worn them? I've only been at one game where he's worn them.
Two or three, maybe. I'd have to take a look. Okay. But
yeah, so hasn't been that often. Maybe it just didn't feel right last night. So no gold pads. We'll see if he brings them to the All-Star game. our final segment every week on Vegas Golden Podcast. Another one, not much to talk about this week, so we can't really make more picks, but I guess we can laugh at ourselves for the first ever Shining Knight segment. The first ever pick was Tomas Nochik by you. Mm-hmm. He did not do too much in these three games. Didn't score, I believe. I don't even think had a point.
Nope.
Then I followed it by going with Brandon Peary, also didn't score. I don't think had a point. Yeah, a lot of people know he didn't score, so we totally struck out on this. This was not a good first showing. I will say Peary was totally invisible. Nochik last night at least made a couple different plays that stood out to me. I think he made one great pass that just didn't lead to a goal. So I think by default, you're the winner of this one. But
well, yeah,
I think
neither
of us
on,
are really a winner.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, we, you know, it wasn't the best three games for either of them. But I will point out that, and not to pick on Peary too much, but I mean, that that one that he missed against Minnesota, I believe it was, right there in the crease. I mean, it happens. It's just unfortunate luck. But yeah, so I'll take the victory. Justin won case zero on the on the Shining Knight competition. Doesn't make sense to do it for this podcast because there's no games. But I guess we'll get back at that next week, huh?
I'm just so disappointed in myself. If you've read Talking Points, our gambling coverage over the years, you know my biggest philosophy, and I think a lot of gamblers' biggest philosophies, is selling high on teams or players that are overachieving. And Peary was clearly overachieving. I just thought that maybe he could keep it going for a little bit longer. I cannot believe that was my first ever pick. I had you. Well, you had the first ever pick, yeah, but I had everyone on the board.
Everyone.
I had Nochik, and I went with a guy who was performing just out of this world and wasn't going to keep up. I tried to sneak it for a few more days, but I feel like I should have negative one for this.
Well, yeah, and I mean, there were just, I mean, Colin Miller had 4 points this week. Alex Tuck had a point in every game this week. Jonathan Marchessault had a hat trick and had 9 shots last night. And Max Pacioretty scored a goal. So, I mean, we had options.
And of course, the opposite of what you try to do when you sell high is buy low. And Marchessault would have been a great guy to buy low. He'd been so quiet. And
like, he was due for a breakout.
Yeah,
so
and,
it's like,
and had a hat trick. I'm very disappointed with how this went. But I am going to be working tirelessly over the next 6 or 7 days. We're probably going to do our third episode next Wednesday, and I'll have the first pick this time. Not only did I lose, but you had the first pick last time. So I am going to get into my lab, crunch some numbers, maybe build some algorithms, and find out how I cannot embarrass myself with the second ever Shining Knight pick.
I guess we'll see how it goes.
I was wondering, we didn't... We never kind of defined the rules on this. Do goalies count? Can we take Marc-Andre Fleury?
Well, I guess so.
I think so, but if he has a bad game, if he has a bad stretch or two,
or if he doesn't play, like right. if that's a backup.
Well, that's why. Yeah, then you got to think you could take Subban if you just feel like he's going to have a.
I guess you could.
I think goalies should be eligible. Okay. I just wanted to get that out there.
All right.
So next week we'll come to you with that. We'll look at the games ahead, and we'll have a special. Podcast also breaking down one other thing we're still working on. We'll save it for a little bit of mystery going into episode 3, but make sure you check with us on about next Wednesday. Any parting thoughts, any final Golden Knights things, as you'll be apart for a week. But
yeah, I need to talk with the bosses and find out if that means that I am off for the next 8 days. Like, if I'm going to be here when I could be in Cabo or something like that, then that's a mistake on my part.
Well, I mean, last podcast you're talking about your potential Buffalo trip if Arizona State makes the Frozen Four.
You're going
to Italy this summer. How much do you want?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's fair. That's fair.
So PTO time denied. I'll say it right now. Just joking. We will be back next week, though. Thanks a lot, as always, for listening to Vegas Shining Podcast. We are on Vegas Golden Podcast, excuse me. We are on iTunes now, approved. So check out, subscribe on there. For Justin, I'm Case. We'll talk to you again next week.